This is called the Festival of the Rock. I do not know if this will record. Maybe it will record in your eyes so you don't have to buy the tape. It'll be a false run. You can just take a rock home and save yourself $3. I had to say that because for 12 years in a row, the question is always, do you record? And I don't know. Does life record? Do you record? And how limited is our recording system in the church? And what records? And what do you take home? And what do you remember? And what is a tape? We got a lot of tapes running inside of us that aren't tape recorders at all. They're visual tapes. And I just heard a question out here. And one of the tapes is called, Are You Hearing? Why is everything rainbows? That is a marvelous question. I did not want to begin that way, but someone out here wants to begin that way. And this person just got a tap on his right knee from a relative. Maybe not a relative, but a future relative, maybe a godmother or a godly mother. Like life, you make up things. When I say to seminary students, let's make it up, they think it's a lie. I thought when I was a boy, if you made it up, it meant you were poor. But now, if you make it up, it's a lie, and if you buy it, it's true. I didn't know that. That must be a new wrinkle. Speaking of wrinkles. And so it is. Who tells you what the next paragraph is going to be about? I don't know. So? I had a fellow in my friendship who wrote a term paper several years ago, and he could write on anything he wanted to. It was the best term paper that I can remember, and I'm sorry if some of you are here and you wrote term papers in the class where I worked with you and played with you. I'm sorry that you don't think yours was this good. But this was a special one. You also got an A, by the way, because I never gave anyone less than an A. And you remember that once one person wanted to get a B and we talked him out of it. So this person wrote a term paper. It was a marvelous term paper. I liked it because you could read it in a hurry. It was one word long. I like a term paper that's one word long. And he wrote the whole term paper on a sheet of paper. It was the largest term paper I have ever read. It was 36 inches by 24. That is a very large term paper. I don't suppose he could ever file it. I don't think he ever meant to file it. He didn't really want to file it. He wanted to publish it. And he published it immediately by reading it to the whole class. He didn't even ask my permission. Can you imagine standing up in the front of a whole class and reading your term paper in the front of a whole class without their permission? And they wanted him to. It was so big, they knew it was a little word. It was this word. But I should tell you that he poked a hole through the middle of his term paper. That would have brought down his grade, I thought. But since I was grading him, he didn't think so. I had already promised him an A, and I told him it would be hard to get a B. So he wasn't going to work that hard anyway. So he thought he'd keep his A. He just punched a hole right through the middle of it. He held the term paper up to his face, and he looked through the hole at all of us, and he read his whole term paper, and this is what it said. So? I thought it was a very good term paper. I thought it was better than he thought. So I gave him an A. I think he gave himself a C minus. He acted like a C minus. But he was an A. It will take a while. I don't think it took too long. I saw him 5 years later. He came running across the auditorium floor. I forgot his name. He came running to me and he looked right at me. And he said, so? I knew who he was. He was the person who cared about soul. It was a very important question. Luther liked the question too, and I don't suppose only Luther liked it. It means, so what does this mean? And he was a very curious man. He kept his whole life alive with the question, so? And then he showed me his billfold. I didn't know why he would show me a billfold, except he found a picture in there of his little girl. I looked at her, and he said, so? I thought it was her name. I don't think it was her name. I think it was her meaning. He's trying to find out who she is. I think it'll take him his lifetime. We've come to Holden many summers. I don't know if it's winters or spring. It depends on you. It's not just the weather. And for me, the big word is always when I come and when I'm there and when I leave is so. So why did you want to spend a week or three there when you could be somewhere else? Because you only have so much time and so much space. And I ask myself that every day. Is it worth it? Or do I want to be here? And is it a festival? And how long does it take? When I left this man, I'm still on this man. This is a digression. I wasn't planning to do this. I'm in the margins now. That's the trouble. Festivals are usually in the margin, and the rest of the stuff is in the, you know, down the center of the page. I believe in the center of the page, but don't forget the margins. Give yourself some wide margins or you won't play. Give yourself some wide margins on the left so that you can have some strong feelings, and some right margins so that you can have some strong thoughts. It's very important. I'll come back to this person in a minute. I won't forget. If I won't forget, maybe you can remind me. If I do forget, I will remember to remind you. Do you understand that? If you don't understand that, just say so. That's very good. Somewhere over here I have a box. I want to be sure that the box is here, because otherwise I can't go on. A box is a very important thing. Some people call these props. I call it a box. Some people say this is a prop. I call it cloth. Some people call this a prop. I call it a bag. Some people call this a prop. I call it a microphone. This is also a microphone. Why did you go to this microphone? I wanted to see if it works. I thought I'd have pity on it. It isn't even pretty. Hasn't even got a pretty bag on it. I will hold it. Do you have pity on nature, or do you just plow over your trees? And how do you practice having pity on nature? And if you have pity on nature, could it help you with each other? How do we learn to take care of one another? I remember once I gave an assignment to men and women who wanted to become ministers. This almost sounds like a book. It's so true. But it is true. And I told them that they could all have an A. And young men and women who want to become ministers love A's. They love it. So I said they could all have an A if they built a birdhouse. And you should have seen them get excited. They were sure they could do it. I said it would be a sparrow house, and all the hands went down. They didn't want to build a sparrow house. How about a wren house? How about a bluebird house? I said a sparrow house. They said, some of them said, we will read an extra book. I said, go ahead. They said, we will read five books. I said, read five books and build your sparrow house. They said, we will not build a sparrow house. I said, then you will flunk. They didn't want to flunk. So they began to build a sparrow house. It only took them 14 weeks. Well, there were only 12. I took it on the airplane every week. And I said to the stewardesses, if you can guess what is in this paper bag, you can have it. No one ever guessed. I guess they don't carry sparrow houses on airplanes. So finally they built it. And they finished it, and they put a hole in it, big enough for a sparrow. But in the meantime, they read in the Bible about the sparrow of God that falls to the ground and God cares. They had forgotten that. And they thought if it was there, it was in the Bible, but not in their backyard. They forgot their backyard, and they remembered their Bible. A lot of people remember the Bible, and they forget their front yard. Their backyard, under their yard, over their yard, wherever is their yard, they can forget it. Yards are very important. So are feet and inches. I thought you'd need to know that. When you're thinking, you can never tell what happens in the margins. What happens on the middle of the page, you usually type out. Give it to an editor, and it's very correct. But what happens in the margins, watch out. You only tell two people, your dearest friends and God. That's what's in the margins. What's down the front and middle of the page, that you try to convince people of in lectures, you know, in term papers. It works well. You know that. I'll get back to this guy who said, so? I remember him. I don't remember his name, but he always said, what was the word? You remember that too. Someone must have told you. I have thoughts. I collect thoughts. Some person noticed this, so she gave me a thought box. It's called thoughts. It's very helpful. When you have a thought, you just put it in here. If it's empty, you know nothing's happening. And if you don't have any, it's like underneath the tree, like Larry does. You just put it in here. You put it out there, and people will put things in it. You can have fly thoughts. This hasn't even got fly thoughts in it yet, but it has many thoughts. I got it for Christmas. I thought that this is a thought for you. It's called a cheap Christmas gift. Just get a box with the word thoughts. Then what you do is you get children in the community. That's called the people on your street. The kids down the block, and then they write thoughts for your father. That's what they did. And they wrote all kinds of thoughts. Here's a thought. It's called I'm Happy. I thought that was quite a thought. That was a very huge thought. I wonder how anyone ever thought of that. I am happy and mean it. Oh, here's a feather. Wonder how that got in. I remember it was Denver. I heard Bainton, who invented Martin Luther. I heard Dr. Bainton say once, I don't think he said it twice, because once is sometimes enough. He said once, I'm sure he said it often, because whatever Bainton says once, he's said many times. He said, because he's a historian, he doesn't make it up like a poet. He's a historian, and he said that Luther said something about that if the Holy Spirit would, you know, come in a certain way, he'd eat him, feathers and all. So I found a feather. I didn't find a feather. I found a kid who found a feather. You don't think I'd go out hunting a feather out in Denver, Colorado, with people my age watching? No way. I found a kid who would find a feather. And the kid brought me the feather, and I put it right on the podium. That's called that stand in the front of a speaker who is speaking and who doesn't need the stand. I put it on, and he didn't need the stand. I don't know why they had the stand there. It covered his body. You couldn't even see him. Some people think that Dr. Bainton only has a head. So I put the feather there, and he didn't even smile, so I didn't say anything. That was my thought. My thought was, don't do that again. You ever have thoughts like that? I see some of you are having second thoughts about coming in this room. Here's a thought. This thought was put in here by a prisoner. It says, go to California before it slides in the ocean. His name is Jason. This is a very important thought. Let me just interrupt Jason. And don't forget this guy named Sol. I don't think it was his name. I mean, if you meet a guy in the somewhere, if you ever meet somebody in the pulpit, that is, someone who's preaching, and he says, our text for the day is, and he reads it, and then he gets, dear friends in Christ. And then he says a prayer, and then he says, so, that's the guy. That is an interruption. That is called 10 seconds on a tape. Nothing happened, but you saw me. I'm looking for something. I shall look some more. I listened to tapes that had something going and nothing happened to me. So it works both ways. I have got a stick, and this reminds me of Jason. There were 35 prisoners who got out of jail for 2 nights and 2 days, and one got out forever because he never came back. He was called a lifer. That means he was in for life, and now he's out for life. We have never found him. He's either free or at the bottom of a lake. But we got him out. And for 2 days and 2 nights, we had a marvelous time called Prison Language of Paul. We thought we needed a little help. We looked for a seminary professor or a college professor who'd been in prison. They're very hard to find. So we looked for a prison, and they were easy to find. We brought 35 prisoners who volunteered. If you were in a prison and someone said, would you like to get out for 2 days and 2 nights, what would you do with your hand? So would I. She's out. She's free. She's one of them. It was an exciting time to come along this lake and to see a prisoner go up a huge cedar tree so tall that I thought he might fall. That's a poem. And so I did call, which is a lousy poem, to him and say, are you afraid? He said, this is nothing. You should be in prison. Oh, I thought he almost wanted to slip. I just forgot. Tonight is a rock festival. I'm coming to a rock. I think that was his rock. He had a huge rock in the front of his door. It was a rock he couldn't even push away. It was a rock that felt so heavy. He thought that maybe only one could move it, Jesus. And he believed that. In Chicago, he told me that he was in charge of a whole bunch of guys. Maybe some gals. He didn't talk about them, but I think they were there. It was called a gang. And they had a huge name. It was called the Devil's Advocates. Let me hear it. What a wonderful name. The DA. The Devil's Advocates. And he was in charge. And he had 3 guns. And they had 3 names. Each gun had a name. Can you imagine? If you really love a gun, wouldn't you give it a name? I would give a child a name. I'd give a pet a name. Boy, when you got a gun and you give it a name, you must be good with it. He was good with three guns. I think he could shoot all three at once. He seemed that good. And he went out walking, this guy, and he found a stick. His name was Jason. I'm just trying to remember. Why would I tell you this story? I'm in the margins. Someday I want to get down the middle of the page, but I'm in the margin. It's called a left-hand margin because Jason really stirred me. He said he's going to come and visit me. He said that he's got to go. He went back to prison. He went back for life. But he said that if he ever got out, he'd come and visit me. I hope I'm not home, or I hope I'm home. I mean, I hope he writes me a letter or knocks on the door. What if he comes through the window? His name is Jason. He took a huge stick, this guy who had three guns, and I had a whole gang, and he had a name for the gang. He had an enemy gang. Can you imagine have a gang that you're against? They were called the Blackstone Rangers. And he said, and he swung this stick, he said, I used to have a stick like this. It was a weapon. You know what a weapon is? That's when you slug somebody. And he was just doing this in front of me. I thought he'd do it to me. I wasn't sure. You can never tell when you got 35 out in a row and all around you. And he said, now it's a walking stick. And he said, I've named it George. I don't know why George, such a strange name. Probably after George, the one who ate all the pancakes and went up into heaven or something, you know, burst, or I don't know. Why would you call a walking stick George? He always named things like he named his guns. Now he named his walking stick. And he said, I'm coming to see you. He said, it's no more a weapon. It's a walking stick because I'm on a journey and my friend is Jesus. I want a little rock music. So grab onto your rock, and Lois is going to play from her book, Love Songs, a gorgeous song called, there you heard it. That is it. That is it. Somebody just dropped his or her rocks. That is rock music. Okay, we'll just, that's beautiful. Did you notice that? Now I got to tell you, this is a festival. This is not a performance. Yeah, just give them out. Let some of the, right here, you help me, yes.
Sure.
Let some people use these. They belong to the village. We can use them. Smear them up a little. Lick your finger and go across the front so they don't look so new. Here, sir, doctor. Yeah, step on them. I don't care, whatever, you know, put a little, he would, you know, put a little serum on them or something. And I don't know what doctors carry. Inoculated. What? Salve. Oh, rocks, yeah. Oh, and you know, I got to tell you about this.
Yes, tomorrow.
Just get them out there. You know, maybe you'll need them, maybe you don't, but they're in the village, they're going to stay here, and maybe in 2 or 3 years, when you come back, you can find them in the corner on the floor or back in there on the floor. That's how it is. It doesn't stay perfect here, but they get used. Did you have any trouble finding a rock? That's very good. Who do you think's got the smallest rock? Let me see it. You think you have the smallest? That's a very small one. Oh, that's smaller than... Yes, that is a very small... Oh, doctor, yours is very large. Sorry, doctor. Yeah, yours is pretty small. Who's got a big one? A big rock. Well, we got to see it. Look at it. There's a, Dorothy has a rock. All right, what do we got here? Up. There it is, there's a rock. Bring the rock up here, Larry. Right here on the stump, right next to the brick. Why in the world? I forgot to tell you about soul. This man's soul? And when the whole festival was over that one day, he and I had been together and he showed me his little girl's picture, and what did he say? And then he took his shoes off and he tied them together and he hung them around my neck and he just looked at me and he said, and he left. I've never seen him again. I should have asked him, but he asked me. He wonders what it means that he gave me his shoes. Have you ever wondered when you did something quickly why you did it? And have you ever wondered when you didn't do something quickly, why you didn't? That's a very good question. It's in the catechism called So was heißt das? So what does that mean? I think a good question like that could roll a rock away. Jesus rolled a rock away of Jason. So this is no longer a club for him, but what is it? Walking stick. I saved that walking stick for 3 years. I got my whole basement full, my one corner full of walking sticks. And I got walking sticks all over the country that children are helping to save. So when I come back, and I don't think I'm ever coming back to some of their closets. They're losing the walking stick in their closets. You should see some of these kids' closets. Under their beds, you can't find the walking stick anymore. But this guy, his walking stick is with David in Foreman, North Dakota. I gave it to him when his father died. I didn't know what else to give him. He said he wanted something. So I told him about Jason. I gave him the story of a man. And I gave him the man's stick. And David thinks that if the guy won't visit me, maybe he'll visit him. I think David's looking for a man to come and visit him. It won't be like his father. But no one's like your father. But it is a man. And his father would have loved Jason. David knows that. David's learning to love Jason now that his father has died through the walking stick. How do you keep an idea alive? I see some of you stare at the speaker. It's all right, but I don't think it does everything. Some of you write, it helps. And some of us turn it into a poem. That doesn't do everything either. Sometimes you have to ask him for their shoes. Saturday night, a girl here, woman here, whose mother used to be here, who gave her her shoes, her walking shoes. She wondered if I could use them. Wonderful. Can you imagine a little more rock music? We're going to get into that. We're learning it. And I said, I'll use your shoes on Saturday. Do you realize how hard it is for a young woman to ask a guy like me with a beard if he would like to use her mother's shoes? That's the rock. That's the rock. If you can get by that rock, you get yourself a festival. I mean, rock music is when two people on two sides of a rock get together. Like Walter Bowman and I. Wow, we were once on two sides of a rock. Then we decided to sit on the same rock. We've been on the same rock ever since. And this Carl Schalk and I, we're in the same rock. We make music on the same rock. Little rock, where have you been? It's a very good question. It was asked here at Holden Village. Little rock, little rock, where have you... What page is that? Little rock, 19. Little rock, tell me what you've seen. When the earth was hot and new, where were you, rock? Where were you, little rock, where have... Take your rock in your right hand now and just watch your rock. If you got to watch that book, go ahead. Little rock, where have you been? Now, you got to mean it. Little rock, tell me what you've seen. When the earth was hot and new, where were you, rock? Where were you, little rock, where have you been? Hamatru. Here we go. Now that's a very simple question. Lois wrote this song and I took it on a road. And some older people looked at me as though it was a dumb question. I found a guy who asked the question. He became a geologist. When the earth was hot. He got a PhD in asking, where were you, rock? Where were you? That's all he asks. Little rock, where have you? I've got some slides of his up there. I don't think we'll have time to show them. But if you could see them, you'd be amazed. Little tree, little tree, where have you been? Right across the creek down there. Little tree, little. Last night at 10 o'clock, tell me what you. It's 800 years old, it says. When the earth was hot, I touched it right from the center. And I went all the way out, 800 years back. Little tree, you should touch it. Little tree, before you go home, where get in touch with something old. You think I'm old, you should see that tree. Now, some people like to sing about a people. You know, I'm a people. So you could sing that. It's a very good rock song. Some people have said, I've had rocks in my head, so you could sing to me. That would work. Or some people say, I've been on a journey, which is true. Or that I have a story, which is true. So you could sing, Little Herb, that's me. In that, you could just say, Little Herb, it'll work very well. You could sing Little Tree, Little Star will work, Little Foot, Little Eye, Little Nose. Well, we'll just do Little Herb, we'll get warmed up. Lit, very good. Oh, watch me. That's it. I saw someone look in the book. No, here it is. This is Herb right here. Tell me. Very good. Look at the subject when you sing. Very good. Oh, very good question. Well, I thought about that when I was little. I asked my brother that once, where he was when the earth was hot and new, and he almost fell out of the car, and he was 47 in Omaha. Well, you could be 47 anywhere. That's a very good question, sir. Little sir, boy, little boy, where have you been? Jesus said that's a very good thing to say. Little boy, tell me what you've seen. Come here, that mic right there. The earth, yes, you. Here. Little boy, where have you? Hum very softly. It makes it easier to fast. So, who are you?
Michael.
Michael, right. Where were you when you were a little boy?
In Michigan.
What did you collect? Like, if you had a pretty bag, would you? Yep. I mean, or your pockets. What did you get?
All kinds of things.
Name a few.
Sticks and stones, things like that.
Sticks and stones. Where did you put them when you brought them home?
In a drawer, probably.
Where? In a drawer. Tell me, where was this drawer? Just get right close to the mic, and we're going to listen to Mike. Take us to your room. When you were a little boy, there are a lot of people here have never asked you about your room when you were a little boy. Our festival is about a man. What's your name?
Mike.
Mike sticks and stones in his own little room in Michigan. This is a story by Mike. Come to this mic. I think this one's alive. Who are you? What's your name? What's your name?
Mike.
You need this mic, Mike.
This one. And just a very small bedroom with an unvented gas heater.
Where was this bedroom? What corner?
In the rear of the house on the first floor.
Okay. Tell us the color of the walls, anything you know.
White
walls. I don't see your room yet.
White walls with blue kind of denim curtains. Kind of like a ship's cabin type thing.
Did you ever think you'd come to Holden and talk about your little... No. Keep going. You're doing very well. You're the only authority on this. No one else knows that room.
It's been a long time since I've been there, I tell you.
Well, you don't look so old. Go ahead.
I just turned 40.
That's fine. Good. You can remember 40 years.
Right.
Yes.
So it was just a twin bed and blue bed.
Did you live all by yourself in this house?
No.
Oh, I thought so. I didn't hear any people yet. I thought you had a house by yourself on High Street.
No, my mom and dad and sister.
Oh.
Yep.
Who liked the sticks and the stones the most in your house?
Me.
Yeah. Little girl, little girl, just point out like that. Just do a little point to a girl, Mike. Little with your right arm. That's it. Tell me what you've seen. Nice. When the earth was hot and dew, where... He knows what to do.
Little girl, let. This is very healing. It's very healing to get on location. Church people like church geography. It's called Holy Land geography. She is on Holy Land geography. She is on a place that's meaningful to her. She could take you there. It's like a well or a cistern in the day of Jesus. They could take you there and they could tell you a story. And she could take you there. And it's in Ames, Iowa, just north of Jerusalem and south of Jericho, or whichever way. But if you know a Holy Land map and it hasn't got Ames, Iowa in, it's too little. If you got a map of Palestine and it hasn't got Omaha in it, enlarge it.
Well, just think what you can hear in 30 seconds. When you go to a rock concert like this, man, you listen. You listen. Thank you. We've got 4 more minutes or so. I'm just trying to figure out, in a rock festival, what do you do? Hang on to your rock. That's one thing. Well, hang on. I want to tell a story. I will tell a story. I will tell a story with somebody who doesn't even know he will tell a story with me. His name is Erling, and he will come here because he will tell a story with me. And when you at a festival, you don't look at the person you name, because if you look, you might worry whether they heard you. And so you say, Erling is coming. See, Erling may not be walking yet, but he's coming. Because coming could mean that he's heard you, see. And if you look at him, you could scare him. In a program, they know a week ahead. But in a festival, they just get right up to the mic with you, and we get very close because your instructions are part of what happens. And we'll lean down here, Erling, and I'm going to have a dialogue with you, and we're going to go to Iraq. Erling, have you ever worn a stole?
Yes, I have.
Man, that is a heavy piece of cloth on you.
It is.
How long is it?
It's, I suppose, about 8 feet.
About 8 feet. It looks like a big, thick necktie, Erling.
It is.
It is a necktie, mm-hmm. And it could become, like, if I held on to the end of it, would you plow?
I should.
I could pull you. You could pull me if mm-hmm. I was even dragging my heel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when it was not a piece of cloth, Erling, what was it on the ops?
It was a yoke.
A yoke? And
yeah.
You mean the yoke on the minister is an old yoke. Is
right.
That right? And that's no yoke.
There's no yoke because Jesus fashioned it.
It is a heavy yoke. Yes, I see you. And yes, and you are not a yoke. You come right up here and you will be the next yoke. And Erling, this yoke that Jesus had on him, how heavy was it?
All the pain and all the horror of all of the world.
Was it just wood?
No.
Was it just metal?
No.
Was it heavier than metal and wood?
Yes.
And when he wore this yoke and the people dragged on his plow, was it hard to pull?
Oh, everything he had.
You mean Jesus was pulling a plow?
Yes.
Like an ox?
Yes.
And the yoke was around him?
Yes.
And he was tied to the earth?
Yes.
Through the people?
Yes.
You mean he could plow through a field?
Yes.
Could he plow through a city?
Yes.
And through asphalt?
Yes.
And through a skyscraper?
Yes.
Even before they had
an
Omaha?
Yes.
He could plow it all in one night?
Right.
In a minute?
Yes.
Did it hurt?
Terribly.
And when he hit a rock? Did he stop?
No.
He went through it?
Yes.
Did he try to go under it?
No.
Over it?
No.
Around it?
No.
Through it?
Yes.
Did it break?
Yes.
And on the other end of the broken rock, it was open space.
Yes.
What do we call that?
Easter resurrection.
We just made that up. It's called A Rock Story, accompanied by Larry on the Rock. And thank you for, you know, the story. Trust each other in a festival. Just make it up and go from a cloth stole around a minister's neck until you get in Gethsemane and realize that we're called into a ministry and so are you in baptism. And if we could split a rock and have water come out of it like the naturalist has marvelous stories. I wish he was in this room too. He could help us in our festival. He knows rock stories and water stories. And tonight we're going to conclude with a rehearsal of rock music.
When you put your hand to the plow, never turn back.
Oh, that's a little P.S. by Erling.
It was P.A.
last night, and tonight it's P.S. Or you never know, and here they are. Okay, Judy.
This is a rehearsal.
Yeah, fine.
Okay. We'd like a music stand. Could someone... If a rock falls on an egg, too bad for the egg. If an egg falls on the rock, too bad for the egg. Try it. If a rock falls on an egg, too bad for the egg. If an egg falls on a rock, too bad for the egg. There is an old saying, it is very wise. You can see the truth of it right before your eyes. If a rock falls on an egg, too bad for the egg. If an egg falls on a rock, too bad for the egg. It's written by a man named Big Sinker. He's really crazy. People, they are different, various as they walk. Some are fragile like an egg, some are hard like rock. But if a rock falls on an egg, too bad for the egg. And if an egg falls on a rock, too bad for the egg. The rock, it is not broken and is most insolent. Must be nice to be a rock, for it is evident that if a rock falls on an egg, too bad for the egg. If an egg falls on a rock, too bad for the
playing
egg.
Softly, just
keep
softly.
I'm going to talk right through it, as I'm already doing, which is called an interruption. But I know chapel's vesper is going to be very soon. But I want to explain something, because some of you may wonder what the leftovers are. The shovel. I saw the people out there shoveling rocks with the shovel, so I got the shovel. The shovel belongs to the rock. And what's the servant doing there with a towel on his left arm? I thought that the servant image of Jesus is the one who does this tough stuff, that moves the rocks and goes through it, but not over it or around it. So I needed that to remind me that Jesus is the rock. I didn't want to forget it. Even if I never told you, I didn't want to forget it. I didn't want to forget it. And I didn't want to forget either that Israel built, and Israel was in slavery, and I found a brick coming in. It's not a rock, it's a brick. And I thought of how they made the mortar. And I thought of the whole history of those who tried to bury the people of God and never did. Oh, I could tell you about everything up there. Keep going. It's nice. We're rehearsing. That's right. Oh, well, keep singing.
Beautiful.
Too bad for the egg, but the rock can never triumph. The egg it dare not mock, for if the egg is shattered, then splattered is the rock. If a rock falls on an egg, too bad for the egg. If an egg falls on a rock, too bad for the egg. I don't know. Thank you. Thanks.
All right. The festival has almost begun. And so we will quit or begin. I'm not quite sure. Never know when something begins or when something ends. Now, there are some books in the bookstore that really aren't going at all. Let me show you one of them. This is a book that will tell you everything that you never thought you'd ask about what a pilgrimage or what a festival or what a journey is all about. It's $2, I think. I wish it were cheaper, but it's hard to make a cheaper book. It may be hard even to make a worse book, but I think it's a sleeper. Sleepers mean that 10 years from now, it may be relevant. And also, I would like to tell you about a little girl in Texas, but I can't tell you. I bought those slippers for her. I'm on my way to Texas. I was down within 100 miles of her and saw her pastor, but he got into the car and went home just before I gave him her slippers. She's having a tough thing called living out her baptism down in South Texas. She's 5 years old. I thought I'd buy her some green slippers. Then she'd ask me why they were green. I could tell her. If I couldn't remember, I might ask someone what green means. And why turtles? I don't know. I could make it up if I couldn't remember what someone told me. It could mean they live a long life. So I bought her these slippers. I'm trying to meet her. Last time I saw her, I took her a quilt. She buried her face into her mother's body, and I never saw her face. I saw the back of her head. I thought I was God and she was Moses. I'm sorry about that. Some of you don't get that. But that's all right. Don't worry. But I really worry that I never saw this girl's face. She's not ready for me yet. She only knows her mother. But the next time when I come and see her, maybe she'll let me give her her slippers. If not, I'll give them to her mother. That's what I did with the quilt. It was very hard for me. That is a rock. That is a rock festival when it's kind of hard. There's a lot of stuff here. I am going to... I put that cross down there, and when I leaned it down there, it just kind of, at the foot of the candelabra, it just kind of sunk. I thought we had a dancer on the stage, and I looked, and it wasn't. It was just a little string around two pieces of wood. It just went and did a deep knee bend. I thought it was very lovely. And I said to it, "You're going to stay right here on the center of the stage." And it never said anything to me at all. But I said it to it. So, that's all I wanted to say to conclude or begin. What is the question? And tomorrow night we're going to go together somewhere and have an artichoke festival. Because, there, you know, the tailings and artichokes could be a garden in a desert. And that's what we will do. I believe we will do that. So if you know anything about artichokes, bring it. We need it. I put apples in artichokes because I know a little bit about apples, nothing about artichokes. So we will have mostly an apple festival unless someone knows something about artichokes. But that's how it always is. So if there's an artichoke specialist, bring her, bring him, or just make it up. We could believe you if you're convincing.